morning. It was all I hoped it would be.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Monday morning couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
good to turn on the mic and immediately cough.
Happy Monday.
It's like a instinctual radio thing. As soon as a microphone goes off,
for me it's the burp. I swear, if I have a sip, I don't like, I'm not one of those people who swallows a bunch of air when I drink plain water, unless I'm doing that like a sip between the cuts, you know. All of a sudden, all right, cool, time to talk. Burp. Yeah. Neat. I'm just Shrek today, I guess.
Joel and Gray here. This is the Gray Area. Monday mornings, 8 to 9. We hopefully get your week off with a little silliness, a little fun, maybe just a tad bit of information here and there, but that's definitely not guaranteed.
No.
The brain, my brain is struggling to just get functioning here today. But we do have a few topics we want to talk about. I want to talk about a little bit of my venture down to La Crosse over the weekend. My trip down there was very interesting. Brewers are doing okay. They're hanging around there 500. Pat Murphy got thrown out of the game Friday night. I'm convinced he got thrown out of that game Friday night just because he wanted to get out of the rain and the humidity. He just wanted to go to air conditioning. I think he's just like, I'm out of here. You young guys go play. Do what you got to do.
Did they end up winning yesterday?
Yeah, they broke their losing skid yesterday.
I saw them with the lead yesterday, and I thought, okay, we've got the lead. It's time, like, if this is going to happen, I better stop watching, because if I watch, it's just going to go off the deep end, and it was great. Alexander came in and was actually able to close it out then. Good. I was worried. I didn't even want to Google it, because if I Googled it, the result would be a loss.
Yeah, here's Pat Murphy. Mike Clemens gave us this clip from Pat Murphy.
This environment is tough. Threatening rain all the time. The mounds, rugged. It's just a different environment than they're used to. So I'm proud we played. We're in every game.
Just a different environment, so I decided to get kicked out of Friday's game so I could just go inside, basically, is what he's saying.
I didn't like the weather.
Yeah, I didn't like the weather. Of course, we have a Pope, and what are the menu, for those of you who haven't joined us before, each during the week, Gray and I, if we have a subject to talk about, we just put it on our shared little Google sheet. So Mr. Greg Gunderson has put the anti-popes on there as one
anti-pope. So like anti-pope. I feel like the phrase anti-pope. So if you know offhand without Googling, without being told, what an anti-pope is, first of all, you and I would get along because you're into history. I love that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like anti-popes might be one of the funnest seeming words in the English language. I mean, and please let me not diminish the seriousness of the religious position, the office of pope, the papacy. I have the utmost respect for that, for Pope Leo XIV and all of his predecessors. But there's just this term that you might find as you go through history, which I do every day. Every single day, I start my day looking at, all right, what's happened on previous 12ths of May?
Yeah.
And if you look way back to before the year 1000, or actually this one was kind of recent. I think it might have been like the 13 or 1400s. One Holy Roman Emperor or another, which is another thing that used to exist, mm-hmm. crowned or consecrated an anti-pope. Which was, I mean, back in the day, people used to disagree about who was pope to the point of war. Like, they disagreed really? About who could pick the pope. Oh. So, like, you've got two halves of a continent. These people pick the pope. No, these people pick the pope. All right, we better kill each other about it. And they did. And they mm-hmm. did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm pretty sure that the word anti-pope, it might be one of the coolest words ever. Not because we need somebody to oppose the pope. Quite the opposite. I think the pope is just fine with a monopoly on that power structure.
Sure. Yeah.
But like the video game implications of the term anti-pope. Like I think of a first of all, he's buff. He's huge. Mm-hmm. This is a big guy, the anti-pope.
Of course, big warrior type dude. Yeah.
And I'll admit I can't justify why I think he's a good guy, but like I hear anti-pope and I think Batman, you know? Like anti-hero. That's probably why.
Okay.
You know, like anti-heroes are actually just heroes that just don't seem like it. Maybe right. the anti-pope is not who the world deserves, but who the world needs right now. I don't know. Okay. It was a term that I couldn't just let go and fade into the etheria of my morning.
Yeah.
Anti-pope. I couldn't let it go.
So Google it, people, if you want more information.
Anti-popes. It is dry, dry history, but it's fun imagining.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And so we have a pope, and I think it was a surprise to me, because I knew there was an American Pope Leo now who had a shot at it, but I thought to myself, with everything going on in America right now, I don't think they're going to do that. And so it was a surprise to me, yeah. I think, and to a lot of people.
I heard it the other way, was that it was specifically, I know Rachel mentioned actually specifically reading somebody who, and I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody I remember thinking had some knowledge to them, but somebody had stated that America wouldn't have a pope selected from its ranks until America needed to have a pope selected from its ranks.
And maybe now.
Kind of the opposite. Like, this was the time we needed. By the way, an anti-pope is a person who claims to be Bishop of Rome and leader of the Roman Catholic Church in opposition to the officially elected pope. And there are various reasons they might do that. It's usually money or politics.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we have the pope. He's a Chicago guy. I saw there was a controversy whether he's a Cubs or a White Sox fan, although it was seen at Cubs games apparently at one point or another.
His brother said White Sox.
Oh, okay,
That's what I heard. His brother says diehard White Sox fan.
Oh, okay. Well, the White Sox may need an intervention here. They've been pretty, pretty bad. But it's weird for me when that happened. I said to my wife, I said, the Pope grew up 6 hours from us.
Whoa.
I said, that's not, the Pope seemed to be Vatican, like kind of, I mean, I grew up Catholic, so the Pope was part of my growing up, but seemed to be over there, kind of the Pope over there. Now I'm just like, the Pope grew up with pretty good pizza. I mean, the Pope grew up in Chicago.
The Pope grew up just a couple hours from sounding really, really friendly to
for
us.
Sure,
too.
Dear,
like,
yeah.
I think we just missed having one of the coolest sounding popes ever. Just barely, by about one highway. Highway 51 separates the Pope from being a real cool guy. Too bad. Too bad. Could have had him call into the roundup and had a real good time.
I don't think there's a better impersonation on the planet than a guy who grew up in the Northwoods impersonating someone who sounds like he grew up in the Northwoods. I think that's the best impersonation ever.
Well, I'm pretty sure that each of us who grows up in this area has to make a choice, and I'm not sure we all realize we make that choice. But I mean, you go down to Shawamigan High School. There's a bunch of guys having the best time of anybody in that room, just sitting there on a bench, not talking loud, but they got the whole they're throwing them whole selves into it. They're not questioning it. And then you've got people who, for one reason or another, hear their friends talk like that and they notice it. You know, I think a lot of us just don't notice our own regional accent, and then some of us it stands out like you're watching
watching an episode of Fargo, and oh my gosh, we don't need to start the car. Just tap the brakes. Hold on.
Yeah.
It's a little bit much.
Well, I didn't grow up too far from here, a couple hours south, but when I moved here, we noticed an accent right away. And after a couple of years, my wife said, we don't notice the accent anymore. That means that we have it.
Yep.
we have it.
It's gone. It's not gone. It means it's ingrained now. Yeah. It's a part of you.
Yes. This morning, I have SportsCenter on in the studio in the morning, and I witnessed the greatest sacrifice fly, I think, in the history of baseball. Now, I'm going to play the video for us in studio, which is going to do no good for our listeners, but we can describe it rather accurately here, where a guy steps up to the plate, college baseball. He hits a foul ball that goes into the almost into the first base dugout, and literally three guys almost fall into the dugout getting the ball. One guy comes out with the ball, and they're celebrating, and there's a guy at third base who realizes everybody's standing at the front of the dugout for that sack fly, and the guy comes in from third base, and I don't know if it was the winning run, but it was a very important run because it went from, hey, great catch, diving into the dugout, and the catcher is standing there, and everybody's celebrating it, and the guy from third base is like, I realize you're only 20 feet from home plate, but I think I can beat you there from third base. And he comes in with, I think, a very important run in a college baseball game. So that was maybe the most interesting sacrifice fly that I have seen in the history.
Scored. Was it Louisville or Georgia Tech that scored
there? Let's see here. I'm looking at the jerseys here. I think it was Georgia that scored, wasn't it? Georgia would probably be the yellow.
Yeah,
team.
Georgia swept Louisville in the series. So Georgia, this actually was involved in winning them the game.
Yeah.
Love that arm held in the air. Like, I caught the ball. I caught the ball. And turning the head to third. Oh, no.
maybe the shortest sacrifice fly in the history of baseball was literally this feet away from the home plate.
I was watching. Right. I don't even remember. I think it was a... I'm trying to remember what game I watched on Friday, but it was a pop fly short to right. It was going to be it was like a foul, way up high foul, plenty of time for three people to get under it. And finally, they were grouping up like those college kids were. And finally, one guy, I just saw him look around and he waved his hands like he was trying to, like he was trying to fight like John Wick and he was surrounded by people, but you could tell that he was obviously swearing. He was, get the heck away. This is mine. And I respected him so much for that because it's just like, all you need is one person to shout loud enough to prevent the issue that's coming up.
Just get away.
Yep.
Get away.
My ball.
Well, I traveled over the weekend down to La Crosse and I had a Google Maps adventure that I've never had before. I've had interesting Google Map adventures. Sometimes when I travel places and I don't really care how I get there, and I actually would prefer that Google Maps would maybe take me down some rural roads, stuff like that. So I went down there to La Crosse from Park Falls, and it took me, and what may have triggered this may have been one missed turn. I may have missed a turn, and Google Maps, whatever setting I have it on, I have it on the As the Crow Flies setting, because it's always looking for that shortest distance. And I spent... a good 17 to 20 miles on gravel roads, which I wasn't real thrilled about, but
construction.
Yeah, and then I got to one intersection of a gravel road where it wasn't a four-way stop. I got to the stop, and one road angled off to the left. One road angled off to the right. One road went back left over here. And Google said, continued straight. And I'm like, there is no straight.
Nope.
So I took the veer to the left, which took me 2 miles around a full circle back to where I was before, and then continued on the road I was supposed to take. But in this venture, I felt like I was in the 50s. And not like people in central Wisconsin are not living in the 50s, but when you get down into pretty big Amish country in central, down south of Medford, down in there,
yep,
and some of the back roads, I experienced on a Friday morning more Amish, more people riding their bikes on gravel roads, people out in their yards. Just, I experienced a part of Wisconsin that I don't think many people have experienced on that back gravel road area, farming Amish country of Wisconsin. And it was, I really enjoyed it. I was not in a hurry. I was not in a hurry. I was so deep into Wisconsin that I didn't see a Quick Trip for about an hour.
You know, one of my
about an hour.
I'm not sure you were still in Wisconsin, Joel. I think you might have entered the Twilight Zone briefly for a moment there. I don't think there is a 1 hour gap within the Quick Trips anymore. I think the net has reached full coverage. You know, I love that area of Wisconsin specifically because a stranger driving through there who has no idea what to expect would probably still get the right idea. And what I mean by that is if you've never experienced that, it's going to stand out that you're seeing horse-drawn carriages on a paved highway. That yeah. juxtaposition of things, paved highway, horse-drawn carriages, but look close at those carriages. That's not just some plywood nailed together. Like, these are about as nice as your car. Like, yeah. These are some, but the other thing is that, hey, I've never experienced this before. I'm probably, like most people do, I'm probably going to stare a little bit because whether we should or not, we look a little longer than we should at those things we don't recognize. And what do you get if you do that? A smile.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you do it again, you get another smile.
Yeah.
And just, there's something in the air going on down there, and I don't want to stereotype anybody except to say that they've got something figured out we don't.
Yeah.
There's something to that.
And I even saw, I'm thinking it was some type of delivery system for a building that was being built, because there was two horses pulling an Amish cart that it was stacked 30 feet high.
Oh, yeah.
And then about a half mile down the road, there was obvious construction going on of a barn or house that was happening there, and I was just like, I envy that courage to stack all that high,
yep.
and going down a gravel road. With some of the times we're in right now, I was just thinking to myself, this sounds pretty good. This sounds right here. This yeah. sounds pretty good right here.
There's this song that made its way onto my Spotify playlist that, like many things in my life, has more swearing than should be reasonable. But it is the tone of the song, and actually the name of the song is Maybe We'll Turn Off the News. Turn off the news and build a garden. All my neighborhood and me is the song. And
yeah.
just, oh yeah, you see, well, and when you live in that way where you've got to deal with the same things that, I mean, the average citizen has to deal with, but you've got different opportunities and different tools for those same jobs. You've got to learn how to break things down into small tasks.
Yeah.
And by its very nature, that job of breaking things down to attack them is going to give you an appreciation for the simple things. And I think that's, I mean, you'll see it every week. I spot a new trend about people abandoning their smartphones. I mean, the advertisers are good. They're going to keep you hooked, but there's something built into us that's saying drop this thing. And I think it's showing more and more. I think we're going to see more people on their dumb phones. We're going to see more and more people who refuse. Like, I downloaded an app the other day to turn my smartphone into a dumb phone. I found out it costs like $5 a month. I was like, oh, yeah, no, come on. How about not? Why don't I just tape a piece of cardboard to my phone so that all I can see is the phone app button? That'll do the same thing for free. So, like, yeah. We're starting, I think the draw that brought us all into the internet, I think we're starting to draw from that well, and it's starting to taste sour as it becomes less and less for us.
Yeah, yeah. So that venture I had via Google Maps, Google Trips, it was refreshing. It was just refreshing. I did get to one point deep into the gravel road where I thought to myself, this is probably enough.
Well,
and eventually I did get back to a main highway, and I knew it would get me to where I was going, and it really wasn't much longer than it was taking the main highway, which would have been a few more miles. It would, because it was really as the crow flies. I mean, take a left on Johnson Road, take a right on Smith Road, it was just like, okay, I'm following you here. I'm with you all the way, baby.
And you know you're driving by, that's the Johnson house right there. That's the Smith house right there. Like, these roads are named after the families.
Yeah.
We recently learned when we were down there for the WBA a couple weekends ago, we learned that Google Maps will actually indicate to you that you've entered a horror movie. It doesn't actually use those words, but there's kind of a secret horror movie mode in Google Maps. And
this is never good.
Well, no, this is, and I would have put this on the topic list, but I didn't think of it at the time. So on our way down to the WBA, you know, we took the interstate most of the way there between Madison and here as best you can. And we saw a town on the way down called Almond. Yeah. If you've been to Almond, Wisconsin, it's a great little town. We hadn't been, and the name Almond just stood out to us.
Almond Bancroft, yeah.
And so we said, we're going to stop in Almond on our way home. For whatever reason, we're just going to, instead of navigating home, we'll navigate to Almond and just see what we find.
Yeah.
And then on the way down, we also discovered Lodi. So we, on the way back up, we went through Lodi, absolutely beautiful country where it gets hilly down there. And then we navigated to Almond, and Before we decided to actually go to Almond, we saw something that kind of caught our eye in Lodi. We'd hit the nav button, and I said, you know what? Instead of just jumping back on the interstate, let's go straight through this intersection where it says to turn right, because I see there's actually the Almond Main Street. Right. So I drove down the Almond Main Street, and, you know, sometimes it'll say turn around, and then when you blow past that turn, it'll say, okay, now just basically go around the block to turn around, and it goes through several versions of, whoops, you missed your turn.
Right.
But this time, it said, actually, why don't you just keep going on straight?
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, there's a route right in front of you, and I thought, you know what, that's the way we want to go. It's beautiful, so we did that. We followed it, we went through Almond, and we wound up in this town called Harmony Grove.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. If you've never been to Harmony Grove, Wisconsin, it is, first of all, I guarantee you, every restaurant on a Saturday morning is packed to the walls. We are not the first people to discover how beautiful Harmony Grove is. But if you want to just see a beautiful place, go to Harmony Grove. And we did the same thing. We're like, okay, it says turn right, but straight looks really pretty. There's some hills up there. It kind of looks like the Pinocchio Range, you know, like it's nothing crazy, but let's drive that way and see what we see. And sure enough, it said, you know what? There is a good way this route. Let's just keep going straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And then we got to Almond. And we're finally there. And I thought, all right, this has been going great. Let's do it again. Let's go straight where it tells us to turn right. And so we go straight and it says, Papa, you turn.
Didn't want you to do that.
And I was like, oh, no. Let's just keep going. It'll eventually give us a route. Because I look up at my little compass on the rear view. It still says we're going northwest, at least generally. Yeah. So as the way the crow flies, we're at least sort of heading home. So we keep doing that. About a quarter mile later, it says, Papa, you turn. It's like... Then the scenery changes, and like the trees kind of close in over the road a little bit, and suddenly there's less sunlight getting through, and it says, Papa, you turn. And I'm like, you know what? If it says it one more time, I'm going to believe it.
Papa, the U-turn.
And so we stop at a stop sign, and it's not even saying turn right. It's a four-way stop. Stop signs everywhere. I don't think there's a stoplight suddenly within 5 miles of where we are now. We've gotten a lot further down this road than I realize we have. And it says, it doesn't even say Papa U-turn. It just says, turn around. And I thought,
look over your shoulder.
You know what? I'm pretty sure if I push this one more time, I won't have the opportunity to do it again. And that was how we discovered that Google Maps has entering a horror movie.
It sees the roadblock ahead that you're not going to like where this is going to end up.
If you can probably get through what you're going towards, it'll let you, but if it needs to warn you, it will.
I encourage people, maybe as a family trip or something, you know, you don't have to fly overseas, you don't have to go to Florida or West Coast. Just start driving and defy Google a couple of times.
Yes.
And it'll take you a couple of places and roadways, as long as you got decent gas in your tank and a decent quality car. It's an adventure. You stumble across towns. There are just beautiful little towns tucked away in all parts of Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the type of person to miss that because of my directions. You know, if I'm looking for this exit in 2 miles, first of all, my brain is shut off for 2 miles. I'm not actually paying attention to what's around me. I know that roughly 120 seconds from now, I better start looking for my turnoff. And because of that, I'll actually just totally miss what's actually around me between A and B. And I'm not saying that a paper map would prevent it. I'd still be looking for a 5 mile stretch and, all right, let's blank out for 300 seconds and then check back in again. But I know that there's something lost that, you know, like I said, I might not have had it before, but something is lost when you're that focused on the digital. And I'm not saying put the phone down and just get lost, because you might end up somewhere without cell signal and you can't nav out.
Well, I ended up many years ago when my wife's mom is buried just by La Crosse in Alaska.
Yep.
And many years ago, we went to the cemetery there. And then we said, from the cemetery, I said, directions to Park Falls. And it took me directly north out of there, which was just a beautiful winding road that went up into the peaks of La Crosse and came back down into Melrose, Mindoro area down there. And from that point forward, I thought to myself, I like this. I like the back road. We're not on 94. We're not on the main highway, which may be shorter. It may be a couple of minutes shorter, but not that much. It's fun to take an adventure through small town America. It's fun.
There's actually an option on Google Maps, and I think probably on your iPhone Maps, that is avoid major highways.
Yeah.
And there's several reasons a person might want to take that, but do it for no reason.
Yeah.
Hit the go somewhere 100 miles away, set it to avoid major highways, and just, well, now I got to tell this story. Have I ever told you about the six-sided harmonica?
No.
Okay.
No.
So This is why we do this. So it was.
This is officially the gray area. Yes, we are in depth into the color gray right
now. Now we can actually play the game. We finished the tutorial. So begins the true game.
Yes.
So it was actually my previous girlfriend, and I only wish not to knock Brooke, but I only wish Rachel had been with me at that time because I'd love to share this memory with her. But it's a beautiful memory nonetheless. I was living down in La Crosse at the time, actually, and. I would pick any of several ways to get back up home to Park Falls to visit Dad. And they mainly consisted of getting to Eau Claire, then getting to 29, you know, cutting east and west. And then it's a matter of just getting north to Highway 8 and from there 13 home. But how you got from 29 to 8, well, so you've got Highway 13. If you want to go from Phillips to Abbotsford, you can take that route. Yep. If you want to go a little further west, you've got the route that many people take, which is Highway 27 between Ladysmith and Ojibwa that then hits Highway 70.
Did that last night.
But right between those two is one that I don't think Google Maps will suggest often that I'm sure several people will still know well, Highway 73.
Okay.
And that goes through Ingram and Melvin and Jump River.
Jump River. Love a little Jump River.
Yes. So that's actually where we were. We were in Jump River. We were most, which means we were most of the way northward. We were coming northward, and Jump River is kind of the northernmost on that stretch, as I recall. Or actually, I think Melvin might be up there, or one of them is north. Either way, doesn't much matter. We needed a pit stop. And it was about 7 o'clock on a Friday night. Which meant that there were bars open and just about nowhere else. But there was one bar open in the Jump River area, and it was called Jim and Cindy's.
All right.
And we stopped in. They had an open sign and no cars. So we thought, perfect. We'll blaze in. We'll grab a soda. We'll hit the bathroom. We'll bail. And Brooke was in the bathroom, and I'm standing there just kind of taking in the place. It was absolutely your up north bar. Very normal for around here. People from Illinois might call it a dive bar. And while I'm sitting there, Brooke's not even out of the bathroom yet, and Cindy, who has introduced herself to me, says, "Have you ever seen a six-sided harmonica?" And I thought, there is only one correct answer to that question. Even if I've seen one, I'm going to say no, because I won't have seen one a second time. So I tell her no, and it was the truth, and she pulled it out. Imagine that you arrange harmonicas around a central spoke so that you can rotate it like a corn cob to play different harmonicas.
Okay.
You know, you just rotate it and here's number 1 through 6.
Yeah.
And they're all different keys, which lets her swap different keys. I mean, and there's a lot of great harmonica players out there swap harmonicas mid-song because they need key changes. Not Cindy.
She just rotates.
And she played it, and she played it more than a little well. She was really good at it. And while she was playing it, Brooke came out of the bathroom, and after she finished playing that harmonica, Cindy gave me a sentence that I will never forget. Word for word, she said, "Okay, now I'm going to do a yodel." Now I'm going to do a yodel.
I'll give you one of those.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So she didn't immediately yodel because Cindy had to tell us the story of how she learned to yodel, which was actually fascinating. Mm-hmm. She learned to yodel back in the 1930s, I believe it was, or the 40s, or at a point in time where there was no way for her to listen to a recording of it. There was nobody on the radio who was yodeling often enough. Gene Autry, they didn't have a good radio to listen to.
Sure.
And so she had to learn how to yodel based off of her mother's description of what yodeling was, which was you take your voice and you throw it. Mm-hmm. And so Cindy and her two sisters apparently sat there and made weird noises until her mom confirmed that one was yodeling. Can you imagine? Like, all right, I need you to make weird sounds. One of them is beautiful music, and I'm going to tell you only when you land on it.
Just keep going. Just keep going. We'll let you know.
Now, what's the most incredible part of it was that she was an amazing yodeler. She sat there and she just, I mean, like, you know how some people, like that kid from a few years ago, can yodel like other people can sing well? Mm-hmm. And it just carries you across this Irish breeze. That's exactly what Cindy did. And she proceeded to tell me, "Oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to be on the CW soon. They came and they did a TV interview, and I'm going to be on PBS Wisconsin for my yodeling and my six-sided harmonica."
At this point, you have to be thinking to yourself, Cindy was waiting for me to come. She was sitting there in her chair waiting, knowing I was coming. She knew you were coming.
I don't see, I don't understand that there to be a way to just sit there on this information. You know, if I'm Cindy, I'm sitting there yodeling, playing a six-sided harmonica, or yes, indeed, waiting for the opportunity to do A or B. And I apparently hit the right button. It was so cool. And she was really good at it. Like, I mean, like she learned yodeling by the hermit method and nailed it. I mean, I wish there was a more punchy finish to this, because all I can say is I hope that Jim and Cindy's is still open for other people to experience.
Jim and Cindy's in Jump River?
I believe it was. I believe it was.
So if anybody has any further comments or information, you can text us through the Civic Media app, or you can just email us, wcqm@civicmedia.us.
Just confirm this wasn't a fever dream. If you saw a sign that said Jim and Cindy's, that's fine for me.
Friday night, 7 o'clock, on a date that we haven't determined yet. May or may not actually be a date. May just be a black hole on the calendar in Gray's life. We got more of the Gray Area coming up a little bit more. We'll be hanging around until 9 o'clock, twice an hour, news and sports. Let's get you updated right now.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The U.S. and China are reaching an agreement to suspend most tariffs for 90 days. That means top tariffs on Chinese goods will now be 30% and 10% on U.S. goods going into China. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Markets today are poised to surge higher on news of the cooling trade tensions between the U.S. and China. We've heard now from many major U.S. companies. They've all warned that tariffs make it difficult to predict the future. It makes it difficult to even conduct business because of the uncertainty that they place on the future of both consumers and the U.S. economy.
Dow futures are up 1,100 points this hour. President Trump is ready to accept a luxury Boeing 747 jumbo jet as a gift from the ruling family of Qatar. U.S. officials say it could be converted into Air Force One and then donated to the Trump Library when Trump leaves office and the library is built. Hamas says it'll release Idan Alexander, an Israeli soldier with American and Israeli citizenship. The deal brokered directly between U.S. and Hamas officials. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain, who's at Northern Wisconsin Needs to Know. Brought to you by Marthaler Chevrolet, your trusted hometown dealer for new Chevrolet vehicles and service. This is your reminder that currently we are under a very severe fire warning. Red flag warnings have been issued, which is when critical fire weather conditions are happening or about to happen. It does not necessarily mean there is a fire, but it does mean that conditions will be very dry and windy, and a present fire can become extreme. You're asked to please properly discard cigarettes, keep vehicles off of dry grass, avoid activities with open flames or sparks, avoid power equipment that creates sparks, obey burn bans, evacuate if smoke or fire is headed your way, and evacuate if ordered to do so by local officials. Remember, Wisconsin has beautiful forests and we'd really like to keep them that way. So please be mindful and stay aware. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. over in Glen Flora, Artisans Outlet is collecting canned goods and non-perishable food items to donate to the Hawkins Cupboard Pantry. Once again, they are collecting canned goods and non-perishable food items at Artisans Outlet on North 5750 White Street in Glen Flora on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. With grass turning green and flowers begin to bud, allergies are striking. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot with more.
Allergy season has arrived. I'm sure you've already felt it. The sneezing, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes. And the main over-the-counter meds used to manage it are antihistamines or decongestants.
For our antihistamines, if you're having watery eyes, sneezing, or if you're having like a runny nose, antihistamines are the best medication to use for those symptoms. For decongestions, if you're having like a stuffy nose or nasal congestion, a decongestants will be a best choice for that. But if you are experiencing all symptoms, using both medications will have a complete relief.
That's Rebecca Tao, a pharmacy resident with Aspirus Health. She says seek medical attention if your symptoms are severe and persistent, and be mindful of potential drug interactions.
Especially to treat high blood pressure, or if you're taking sedative medications such as opioids or anti-anxiety medications or antidepressant medication, because taking these medications together can cause unwanted side effects, or it can also reduce the effectiveness of your prescription drugs.
And there are other ways besides pills, she says, you can use to reduce symptoms with lifestyle changes or having certain environmental strategies.
You'll want to wash your hands or face frequently or take showers after you're outdoor. Use a purifier in the house or just cleaning your house regularly can help reduce your allergy symptoms.
And research shows that allergies have only been getting worse with deteriorating air quality and warming temperatures.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers take on the Cleveland Guardians at Progressive Field. Milwaukee with a 4-2 win over the Rays on Mother's Day. Manager Pat Murphy says credit the bullpen.
The story of the game for me is Alexander coming in that situation after Patrick was behind in the count and not his best stuff. Alexander pitched in a big situation and got himself out of it. Uribe was lights out. Pyamps. I mean, that was huge.
Brewers GM Matt Arnold on the decision to send right-hand pitcher Tobias Myers back to the minors over the weekend.
Yeah, look, he was a little bit inconsistent when we got him back. Showed some flashes of what we saw a little bit last year, but you know, overall, we thought he needed a little bit of a reset, and we have some guys coming back, and so we needed the innings, I think, for the next couple days. Tobias has been a big part of this. He will continue to be a big part of this, but also creating a spot here for Brandon Woodruff coming up was an important factor for us as well.
We could see Brandon Woodruff Saturday when the Crew hosts the Twins with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Reliable, affordable energy is critical to progress and building resilient, connected, and prosperous communities. Enbridge's Line 5 is a vital link delivering raw materials that are processed into propane, fueling communities, industry, and businesses across Wisconsin. Energy that powers agricultural equipment and heats homes. To learn more, visit Enbridge.com/L5WIS. Tomorrow is on.
Let's talk about the mega celebration, the mega sale going on at Wheelway. We got Pete with us to talk with us. Good day to you, Pete. How are we doing?
Rock and roll. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I've heard inklings about what's going on there. The flyers are arriving in people's mailbox. Tell us about this big mega celebration going on.
Joel, can you imagine, all right? Somebody's got a $20,000 check in their mailbox right now as we speak. We're giving a couple $5,000, a couple $1,000 winners. We're giving free money out. Make sure you check your mailbox and bring that mailer in. It's one out of 20,000 guaranteed winner to win 20 grand.
All right. And just for coming in, you'll make it worth their time with $5 and that flyer. If they get it in the mail, Pete, you've got a lot of service discounts in there and a listing of some of the latest vehicles too, right?
Absolutely. Make sure you check and not only see if you win the 20,000, but everybody's a winner here. We'll give you $5. Plus, there's hundreds of dollars of savings off those service coupons. Make sure you keep those and use those here in the next month or two.
All right, very good. So look for that flyer in the mail and bring it on down to Wheelway. And, Pete, you guys have been – he had a busy, busy, busy month, and the inventory is turned over, and if people are looking for a little better car, the inventory has never been better, right?
Absolutely. We got a great selection, three-quarter tons, half tons, cars, minivans, SUVs. Doesn't matter, make and model, we got them all right here. As payments as low as $99 a month.
All right, grab that flyer, go to wheelwayautos.com, and they can always give you a call about anything concerning their next vehicle, right?
Absolutely. Give us a call, 762-2467. The number again is 762-2467. Do it the right way. Come to Wheelway, and make sure you come on down here and see if you won $20,000 or $5,000 or $1,000. We're giving free money all this week. Don't wait.
Very good. Thank you, Pete. Pete down at Wheelway, Fifield, Wisconsin, just a couple miles south of Park Falls.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our windsurfing regatta and music festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage. This year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get into the mid to upper 80s this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We'll drop into the upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny and a little breezy with a high once again in the mid to upper 80s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
And more of the gray area, 98Q.
Right to choose it, there ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life, this is our song. We'll find the powers to be just. Don't pick your destiny, cause you don't know us, you don't belong.
Monday morning song, Gray.
We're not going to take it. We're just not going to take it.
This guy does a lot of remakes of old classic rock songs, Def Leppard and stuff. That's pretty good. You slow down rock ballads, or rock songs, rather. Hard rock and rock songs, and they turn into ballads pretty fast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's just like poetry. There's a lot more... a lot more tender beauty to these hard rock songs than a lot of their fans would have you believe. It's like those Punisher logos. If you actually look into what the Punisher stood for, it's like, yeah, I'm not sure that matches.
Yeah, there was a topic I wanted to get into, but I think we're going to wait till next week. My experience in the big city, and I think people who live in small town America don't realize there's a statement called Two Americas, which can apply to a lot of different things in life. But I realized it when I went to a Starbucks over the weekend in La Crosse, and I stood there and I thought to myself, there's two Americas going on in the food industry, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about that next week because I think time-wise I want to get a little different, a little more in-depth. I am happy to say that the weekend for me provided a raffle win. I won a Carlos Correa autograph bat with a certificate of authenticity over the weekend. That's right, baby.
Nice.
And I was so excited that I sold it to a guy for $100 because I talked to my wife on the phone about it, and she said, I thought you were downsizing your sports deal. And she said it not just kind of like threw it out there, and I'm just like, you know, that's a good point. This will probably sit in a box somewhere. So I sold it to a guy. It was probably worth $200 or $300, but I let him have it. Thank you for making the gray area part of your day. We did have a nice email from Colin down in Catawba, where he said that he spent a lot of time at Jim and Cindy's. Cinderella, he said that she was referred to as.
Heard the yodeling and the harmonica.
Yeah, he heard the yodeling and harmonica and other stories. Cindy passed away just last summer, and Jim and Cindy's bar, as of right now, is not open. So, I think there's a lot of other people from around the Northwoods who have probably fond memories of Cindy and Jim and Cindy's.
Oh, no, that was 100% the kind of place that, I've rarely...
you know, we're from here. So when you hear people talk about how welcoming people are, it's kind of difficult for us to imagine because we don't get that third person perspective. Cindy made me feel as welcome as an out-of-towner as a local. Like, I'm very sorry to hear that Cindy passed away, but thank you, Colin, for that update. I really appreciate that. That's kind of a warm bit of melancholy for me today.
Yeah, so as you get older, there's always information that gets passed along to you that just makes you feel like you're getting older. Mine, I just looked at Mike Tomlin is now the longest tenured head coach in major U.S. sports. I remember when Mike Tomlin, I think, was playing professional sports. For me, anyway, there's just all kinds of milestones that just make you feel getting older. And even as young as you are, Gray, young and gray, you had one the other day that made you feel old, right?
Oh, the Tony?
The Tony Hawk thing, yeah.
So, I mean, like, when you hear Tony Hawk, what do you think? You think that stupid video game? You might think the Ramones and the songs from his soundtracks.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk, that darn kid, that dang skater grinding up the picnic. He's 57 years old today.
Probably still skating, I would guess.
Yeah, he totally is. He totally is.
The help of a lot of ibuprofen, probably.
The thing about being 57 and a skateboarder is that you skate like you're 57. It shows. He was trying to do, I think it was like a 720 a couple of years ago. It was like the first one he'd done in 5 years, and it took a lot of trying.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's kind of a fun yardstick for social culture. Like, what's really weird about that is realizing that, like, how close in age my dad and Tony Hawk are. that's a weird feeling. I remember growing up, you know, I was like 8 or 10, and Tony Hawk was very much in the zeitgeist of the time. It made me feel like we were comparable ages, like maybe he was 10 years older. No, he's almost twice my age. He's just south of twice my age.
Yeah, it only gets worse, Gray. I got bad news for you. I mean, I sit and watch, I watch NBA playoffs. I watch Anthony Edwards, who's 23 years old, and I realize that it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he could be my grandkid. I would have had to have been pretty frisky as a youngster, but definitely my kid and maybe a grandkid. And I'm thinking to myself, I just, you know, and as you get older, I think you're only as old as you let your mind make yourself be, because many people, I've gone to nursing homes and taken dogs in there and met with Alzheimer's patients and my dad had Alzheimer's, and I've been around that atmosphere a little bit, and so I've heard so many people say, they say, you know what, said, I may look old, but my mind is still there young, you know, even when you start to get older, and you, keeping that young mindset, no matter how old you get, or no matter how many people you lose around you, or the fact that Tony Hawk turns 57, you just keep that mindset, and I think if you can stay young in your mind, you can keep it going, keep it functioning.
Yep.
So
I think aging is what most of us are up to and dealing with most of the time. I turned 31 on Wednesday, in a couple days here. And I think it's about the yardstick by which you measure. Like, I am now going to stop thinking of myself in terms of the age of NFL players. You know, I've been in my NFL prime for like 8 years now, but now I'm looking at, like, if I'm a lineman, I'm retiring soon.
Yeah.
Like a 31-year-old NFL lineman, it's got some bad knees.
Yeah, they're ready to hang your jersey.
See, so now I've got to pick another sport. Like, I've been okay because, yeah, there are NFL players this age, but the moment I turn 35, I'm not going to be able to say that anymore. Like, Tom Brady was a zombie. His bones are made of some other stuff.
Stay with golf. You're always in your prime in golf.
Exactly. Ernie Els is still out there doing it decently.
Even if you switch over to the senior tour, you can still be relevant.
Oh, yeah. So if you ever hear me say I'm not old until I can't golf anymore, that's a sign that I'm already old. Exactly. If I've gone there, yep.
All right.
That's my last lifeline.
Well, thank you for tuning in. Another edition of The Gray Area. We post each week's show at 98qcountry.com under podcasts. And next week, I've got a topic that I really want to get to, talking about two Americas when it comes to dining, big city versus small city, because it just hit me like a lead brick. And I felt old yesterday when I realized this at a restaurant. Gray, have a great day. Thank you much.
Thanks, Joel.
Gray Area, Joel Karnick here. That's another edition of The Gray Area. News to come in a moment.
Over 30 years.